Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airways. We started out strong with Brock Bucks and the Berg podcast out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the second of four with the Cubs and blessings to Tarek. And now it's time for the Breaking It Down podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, live in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. It goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay down the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, I'm bringing another great guest through the show, Matt Edwards, host of the Relief Room podcast and stuff and unbelievable things which he's doing out there in Philadelphia. First of all, Matt, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, tell us about this Relief Room because it's very interesting.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm doing well. I mean, I'm not Brad Lidge going on archaeological digs in Italy in his retirement good, but I'm still pretty good. So yeah, you can find me at on Twitter. Twitter has been my favorite platform so far, at least, and it's at the Relief Room on Twitter. And really, it's great to chat with you, man. We've chatted a couple times here, Mark, and just what a baseball fan you are, and what a baseball fan I am, and that's really the impetus for the Relief Room. It's all been just love of baseball, and particularly love of the Phillies. You know, the Relief Room started really just from pure joy when the Phillies won the 2008 World Series. My dad and I, and well, you know, all of Philadelphia, but you know, all the fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. My dad and I were just so elated after the parade, even we didn't know what to do with ourselves, and we just wanted to keep the joy rolling. And my dad had the picture of Brad Lidge, you know, celebrating from his knees, arms raised to the sky, and he's like, I want to look at this every day. And he goes, I just want to hang it up. And I said, man, the only place Mom is going to let you hang this is in the head. And so, sure enough, my dad hung Brad Lidge up in the bathroom, over, you know, the powder room, right off of the kitchen, and that's where it stayed for a little bit until he got lonely, and then he put Tug McGraw up, thinking this was the best way to keep him company. And then, really, you fast forward a couple years, my wife and I bought the house that I grew up in from my parents,
wow.
And Brad and Tug were still there in the what was then just the bathroom. And I made it grow. I took it with some buddies, and we went, you know, I'm a collector still. I'm a huge fan of the Phils and really just baseball in general. And we went to card shows and memorabilia shows, and we started gathering other pictures and photos and, you know, memorabilia. And really we started looking at the goofy, silly ones, like what can be, who's got the best mustache and who's got the, you know, the old vet stadium seats in the background with the orange and red and those kind of things. And really, the jokes write themselves because you relieve yourself in the bathroom, and to line it with relief pitchers, it just the jokes just started flowing real easy, and you throw a couple of great mustaches in there, and it goes from there. So it's been a lot of fun. I just started writing emails back and forth to my buddies, like, hey, I got this great Warren Brewstar photo, and look at his mustache, and look at how menacing he looks, and. And then before you know it, my one buddy recommended I start a Twitter page, and I did. And next thing you know, Scott Ayer's coming to my house, and Tyler Kepner's writing articles in the New York Times, and Mark Mancini's having me on his podcast. I mean, it's all pretty sweet stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, Matt, when I look at it, and I've always said this, I'm so intrigued. You know, growing up and playing a little hockey and goalie, I always thought that was the position where you get a lot of attention. And baseball, it always seems to be the relief pitcher. You know, you come into your own music, whether it's Hell's Bells out of San Diego, Hotel California in L.A., and across the board in this country. But, you know, you're on your own little island there. You come in, you get the abuse by the fans, whether you're in Philly, New York, and some of these other cities. But, you know, when you look at the relief pitchers over the years, and we can break it down to like this. I loved Raleigh Fingers, Goose Gossage, You can throw Trevor Hoffman in there, Bruce Sutter. But, man, oh, man, it's just that quirkiness. It might be the mustache. It might be how they present themselves. But what would be yours in a general top five if you had to come up with in relief pitchers?
Well, you know, before I get to the top, you know, a top listing, like, you're absolutely right with that as far as the quirkiness and almost the outcast part of it. I mean, they have their own room. You know, they have their own – the bullpen is not connected to the dugout. Like, they're almost a separate part of the team, right? So they have to find their way to survive, and their quirkiness, you know, obviously helps. But they need to find a way to survive with that and to really accentuate themselves. They need their own songs and their own amp up music. So as far as a top listing goes, I mean, my answer to this is always the same, is that I can't choose which one of my favorite child is, you know. It's almost 300 inductees right now, over 300. 330 as I pull it up right there. 330 inductees. So it's hard to pick a top listing of them, but I have favorites. Anybody that's looked at my page knows I love Tom Hilgendorf, because that guy is a hero. He literally saved a drowning child in a pool on a road trip in Anaheim. So he's a favorite. I mean, I love guys like Joe Horner. He was just a quirky guy who would take over the team bus and drive the team bus around the stadium in circles. That guy cheated death 100 times. He was in a boating accident where other people died, and he almost drowned because he couldn't swim, and he survived. He had some collapse on the mound that the doctors couldn't figure out, and he survived. And then he dies in a farming accident in his late 50s, like just a crazy thing like that. So just those stories of those guys, they obviously go way beyond the mound. But just the stories of some of these guys are so compelling to me that it's hard to pick a top listing of them. I do have, you know, the famous picture of the quote-unquote original Hall of Fame class that's got, you know, Babe Ruth and Walter Johnson,
yeah,
and all the, you know, there's 10 guys sitting in the, you know, five in front, five behind.
Right.
I had a friend of mine make me a photocopied, or a photoshopped, rather, picture of that and put 10 relief room guys on there. So it's guys like Scott Ayer and Warren Broussard and Al Holland and Brad Lidge and just my, you know, my guys. And that hangs in the relief room, and I think it's one of my favorite pieces. So I guess it depends day by day. It changes as to who my favorites are, but there was a couple of them right there.
You know, when you look at baseball, and I'm 60, I feel like I'm 35, but seeing it in the last three decades growing up, I think the 70s were the fun times. It was the quirkiness like we're talking about. It was the colorful uniforms. It was the rivalries. What stood out to you in your decade of watching baseball? The 70s are mine, far none, because to me, the Cincinnati Reds, nobody's duplicated what they did in 76 as being pretty much the best baseball hitting team in the last six decades. Any thought to that? Any preference to where you pick your decade of baseball?
Totally. I mean, and there's some great crossover from those great Reds teams to the Phillies. I mean, Raleigh Eastwick pitched for the Phillies too, and he was there with the Reds. So he's one of those guys. I'm a little bit younger than you. So I was born in the late 70s. So I didn't really come of age until the late 80s as far as my baseball fandom. And those years were really lean for the Phillies. So being a Phils fan then, you had to love the guy, the quirky guys, because that's all you had. You had an old Mike Schmidt. Carlton was old, and everybody was at the end of their line. So mine really was the 93 team. I was a teenager when the 93 team hit for the Phils, and that team connected on so many levels for so many people, because they were not expected to be any good. And just you talk about the crazy looks and the crazy hair with those teams. Those were great fun. And then, and really 08, that 08 run, that 07 to 2011 run of the Phillies. I mean, I was in my late 20s then, but that was the group that, I mean, obviously they won, because I was 3 years old when we won in 1980. So that was the real excitement of the group. And that was, I mean, that was the closest we came to matching, or, you know, trying to match those Cincinnati Reds, that big red machine, because we, you know, no National League team had won back-to-back World Series since then. So when we were going in 09 trying to win back-to-back, it kept hearing the comps to the big red machine, which obviously not a true comp, because they had Hall of Famers all up and down the lineup, and we might have won. But that was my era, that early three team, and then that 07 to 2011. Those are the teams that really got the juices flowing, but everybody in between was there too, and that's part of the joy of celebrating some of those guys is the lean years in Philly, and it's like, oh, I remember that guy. He only pitched six games, but oh yeah, I remember Bronson Heflin. I mean, there's guys like that makes it fun to go down memory lane.
Well, as we get into the last 4 minutes, reminiscent of the Toronto Blue Jays coming to Philadelphia, that 18-11 game the other night reminded me of 1993,
right.
Without Mitch Williams on the mound. Any thought to that? And how far is this thing that you've got going, man, you want to take it? Because I am so intrigued, and the knowledge and the expertise of the relief room is amazing, my friend.
Well, thank you for that. It's been it's a lot of fun. I do a lot of research. I don't claim to be an expert on it, but I guess I've kind of become that way. I got one guy that follows me on Twitter that said, I think the relief room knows more about Philly's relievers than anyone knows about anything. So that's certainly pretty fun. And yeah, when the Jays were in town here, that definitely evoked some memories of that 93 team. And that game, there was all kinds of stuff on Twitter, especially, that was like, oh, we could have another 15-14 game here. You know, that obviously ended poorly for the Phils, but I've got a lot of love for those guys that were on that team and then in that pen. I mean, Mitch Williams signed an 8x10 for me that said, bring in the gas in the relief room. I mean, how can you beat that sense of humor and just that self-awareness with him that I think is pretty pretty classic. So as far as what's next, the relief room is right off of there's my kitchen and then the laundry room and then the relief room. Well, we changed the laundry room. My wife has wanted for the longest time to move the washer and dryer to the basement. And we had some work going on at the house, and she's like, now's the time. Let's move this stuff to the basement. And my first reaction was, hon, that's not a top priority. It's fine where it is. Let's just save that one for later. And she baited me, and she's an angel, by the way. She is a saint for letting me do all of this stuff. And she says, look, you've been wanting to expand this, you know, the relief room, because the powder room is only 8 foot by 3 foot. It's a toilet and a sink. It's tiny. And she said, you've been wanting to expand this. How about if we move this laundry to the basement and this laundry room becomes the relief room annex? So that is the next project. I'm going to build a locker style setup in there, so my kids have places to put their book bags and shoes and whatnot. But then in there is going to be hanging the game used jersey I have of Mario Holland, and the Toby Borland game used cleats. And I'm going to make it full on locker room style with everything. So that's pretty exciting. So that's the next step. And then of course, coming on with you all the time and talking on your podcast.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we're joined at the hip. You're a brother, and we could be the next Steve Carlton, Tim McCarver, 60 feet, 6 inches.
I love it.
Going back and forth with this thing. And the only thing that you and I will ever have a disagreement about is my Pittsburgh Pirates and your Philadelphia Phillies.
100%. I get that all the time because Kent Tekulve is one of my favorites, and he obviously made his bones with the Pirates and was amazing with the Pirates. And I have love for the Bucks. I mean, we're supposed to be cross-state rivals, but I've never felt that way. We've never been good at the same times, it feels like, so that certainly helps. But I've got family from Pittsburgh. I've got lots of love for the Bucks. And that Tekulve crossover is one that nobody looks better in that in those old Pirates ball caps, you know, than Pete.
Yeah, if he wasn't playing baseball, he'd be a surgeon in a hospital, that's for sure. As we wrap this up, Matt, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. We got to do this again. I know one of the shows out of Fresno is looking to get you on there, and man, what a blessing to hook up with you.
thanks so much, Mark. This is so fun to talk ball with you and your audience and to share a little love about the Relief Room. And you can find me on Twitter, at the Relief Room. Pretty straightforward. My name is my brand.
Well, he's Matt Edwards. I'm Mark Mancini. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Powered now by Mancini Media. We want to thank you for tuning in. And stay tuned for another one next week. Who knows who's coming in through the Breaking It Down podcast. Till then, have a blessed weekend, guys.